From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, April 16th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Two gun control measures squeaked through the Democratic-controlled Maine House by a single vote on Tuesday. But as Kevin Miller reports, both controversial bills face additional votes in the House and the Senate.
One bill would ban so-called bump stocks and other mechanical or electronic devices that allow semi-automatic guns to operate more like fully automatic firearms or machine guns. A second bill would require gun buyers to wait 72 hours before picking up a firearm from a licensed dealer, which supporters argued will help reduce suicides in Maine. Both measures received initial support in the House on votes of 73-72, with a handful of Democrats joining all Republicans to oppose the bills. Republican Representative Laurel Libby of Auburn called the 72-hour waiting period a facade that does not address, quote, the festering wound that is mental health here in Maine.
Let's not fool ourselves. This bill didn't pass last session because Maine people don't want it. And here we are, doing the same thing over again. Nothing's changed, Madam Speaker. Maine people don't want 72-hour waiting periods.
Guns have emerged as a top issue in Augusta this year, after last October's mass shooting in Lewiston. Both bills have already received initial approval in the Senate. But as in the House, the 72-hour waiting period only passed the Senate by a single vote. And with such slim margins, supporters can't afford to lose any votes due to changes of heart or absences during final enactment. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Maine Family Planning unveiled a new mobile medical unit in Augusta today as it called on state lawmakers to fully fund a bill that would increase the state's annual allocation for sexual and reproductive health clinics. The mobile unit is intended to bolster the state's network of roughly 60 family planning clinics across the state operated by different nonprofits. Maine Family Planning President and CEO George Hill says the clinics are a critical source of health care, but state funding has been flat for about a decade and federal funding is unreliable.
We see the potential for another Trump administration, to be honest with you, as a direct threat. We also see the federal judiciary as another threat. It's another branch of government that's hostile in some states to the work that we do.
The bill, which was carried over from last session, would nearly quadruple annual state funding from $900,000 a year to roughly $3.4 million. The State Department of Education is challenging the conclusions of a new report from a conservative advocacy group, which largely blames Maine's falling ranking in a national standardized test on top-down mandates from federal and state government. The report from the Maine Policy Institute points to a range of issues and policies that it says have led to the state's testing decline, from increased behavioral and mental health challenges in students to the federal No Child Left Behind education law. David Hagan, a longtime teacher and Republican state representative from Hamden, singled out standards-based education reforms that he says have affected grades and due dates for assignments.
We need to get back to the basics. We need to raise the bars we have done in the past. We need to get back to the academics of excellence.
The legislature passed a law in 2012 mandating proficiency-based diplomas in Maine schools, but the measure was repealed 6 years ago. In a statement, a spokesperson for the Maine Department of Education says the report cherry-picks quotes and anecdotes to, quote, craft a hyperbolic message and makes inaccurate comparisons using data outside of valid context. The DOE points to recent new investments in universal school meals, pre-K, career and technical education, and in meeting the state's obligation to cover 55% of education costs. A Bar Harbor resident has filed a lawsuit arguing that the Bar Harbor Town Council is violating the town's cruise ship passenger limit by not properly enforcing it. Charles Sidman, who was involved in creating the citizen petition for the 1,000-passenger daily limit, has filed an administrative appeal with the town's Board of Appeals and has filed the lawsuit in Hancock County Superior Court. He argues that town officials and the town council aren't obeying the processes laid out in the ordinance.
what they did then was supplanted with their own ideas about what would be better and ignore the specific black and white provisions of the ordinance.
Town Council Chair Valerie Peacock couldn't be reached by airtime, but in an earlier statement called the suit unwarranted. Town officials have said they will defend the town's actions. Mackenzie Holmes became the second player ever from Maine to be drafted by a WNBA team. The Seattle Storm drafted Holmes last night in the third round with the 26th overall pick. Born and raised in Gorham, the 6'3 forward was named Maine's Gatorade Player of the Year while playing for Gorham High in 2019. Speaking at the post-draft press conference, Storm General Manager Talisa Ray says the team sees Holmes as a developmental piece as she'll set out the 2024 season to recover from knee surgery.
She has, you know, plans already set with her surgery and rehab, so we'll get in there with her, figure out how we can support that best, and then figure out what makes sense. We'll work through all of those details, but hope to have her in Seattle sometime soon.
Holmes graduated from Indiana University this year as the school's all-time leader in points scored. She's the second Mainer to be drafted in the WNBA after UMaine legend Cindy Blodgett was selected fifth overall in 1998. And the Maine Celtics fell to the Oklahoma City Blue in the G League Championship game on Monday night. The league affiliate of the NBA's Boston Celtics lost at home in the decisive Game 3 by a score of 117-110. Maine began the series with a Game 1 victory in Portland last week, but gave up the one-game advantage to the Blue. The Boston Celtics, meanwhile, will play their first game of the NBA playoffs on Sunday. The Seas finished the regular season with the league's best record and hold the first seed. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning, we'll learn how to introduce biodiversity to your yard to both promote habitat for wildlife and to support a healthy environment. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thanks for listening.